Somebody said if you wanted to learn a little statement that would shape and maybe reflect your life and bring you a blessing, we should all learn this little statement because it contains great wisdom. What is that statement? There is a God and you and I are not He. Let me say it again. There is a God and we are not He. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Are you familiar with that? How smart are you? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Jeff Foxworthy was a host for a show, and for a number of years was quite popular, based upon what fifth graders are expected to know. So let's see if you're smart enough for a fifth grader. I like playing trivia with you. How many states made up the United States before Alaska and Hawaii became states? How many? All right. Which one's an adjective? Cotton, chi, jump, or red? Red. What's the number of the Roman numeral XVI? What? 16. A hexagon has how many sides? Not 8, that's an octagon. It's a football field 100 yards long, how many feet? How many? 300, okay. Name two of the three Christopher Columbus ships that sailed for the New World. Ah, you're very good. Who commissioned the Lewis and Clark expedition? I heard it. Thank you. You guys blew that out. Other services didn't. Who was the creator of the book characters? Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Mark Twain, known as Samuel Clemens. Two more. What's the first day of the 20th century? January 1st, 1901. And finally, what's a species called that can live on both land and water? What is it? All right. Very good, you guys, quite well. So the previous series are quite well. Smarter than a fifth grader, here's the question. Are you smarter than God? Are you smarter than God? You might be smarter than a fifth grader, but nobody can say that they're smarter than God. My house, my rules. Heard that before? My car, my rules. You're going to ride my car, you obey my rules. I'm the boss in what? Yeah. It's my bat and ball. I don't like it. I'm going where? Because I told you so. Have you ever heard that? Why? Because I told you so. Have you ever said that? The owner has a right of refusal, no shirt, no shoes, no service, and it used to be no mask, no service. Thankfully, we're behind those days. The reality of a transcendent God is that He's the boss and we're not. It's His bat and it's His ball. It's His house. It's His rules. And because He told us so, that's the reality of God Almighty. Are we smarter than God? No. So St. Paul reflects that. He sort of summarized that in these words to the Christians in Ephesus. Can you read that with me? There is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is a God and you and I are not He. He made the rules. It's His bat. It's His ball. He gets His way. That's the reality of a transcendent God. God knows everything. Peter said, Lord, if everybody else will betray you, I never will betray you. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer and die. Lord, that must not ever happen to you, and I will defend you, Lord. And when Jesus is under trial, how many times did Peter betray Jesus? How many? I tell you, don't know the man. Before the rooster crows, you will betray me 3 times. Oh, no way, Lord. And following our Lord's resurrection, our Lord ran up, caught up with Peter, and 3 times he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, take care of my lambs. Peter, do you love me? And Peter fell on his knees and said, what? Lord, you know everything. You don't even need to ask. But 3 times our Lord reinstated Peter. Peter knows that God knows everything. Are we smarter than God? Do we know everything? No. God is God. And so we come to Job. You familiar with Job's story? Job was a follower of God, and Satan made a deal with God, and Satan said, Job's only a follower of you because life is good. What would happen if I would make Job's life miserable? Would he give up on you? And God and Satan made a pact, and they made Job's life miserable to see if Job would still follow God. Took away his wife, his children, his possessions, made him sick, and that was Job's dilemma. And Job's left. Life isn't fair. You ever thought that yourself? Life isn't fair. There are things about my life that isn't fair. Somebody left me. I lost my job. Somebody died at a young age. I have this disease. I'm afflicted with pain. Somebody messed me over. Life isn't fair. And that was a situation that Job found himself in. And Job is left to question that. Why? Because God and Satan made a pact. Let's make Job's life miserable, and still he follows God. Now Job is upset with this. God, my life stinks. Life isn't fair. God's response, can you read it? The Bible verse, let's start with God. God has set eternity in the hearts of men, but they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So God's response to Job when life stunk, God didn't whack Job on the head. God didn't discipline Job, but God gently turned his head and said, Job, I want you to look at the majesty and awe of who I am, the Almighty Creator. And God allowed Job to look at God's majesty and to contemplate that in the midst of his pain and suffering, in the majesty of God. Have you ever seen the majesty of God? What's the most awe-inspiring thing you've ever seen? Don't have to share it out loud. What's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? How to make you feel? Sometimes people say, well, I saw a sunset in Hawaii. It was breathtaking. Or some said, I went to the Grand Canyon and I looked into its depth and I was amazed. Some people said, I saw the Grand Tetons in Wyoming and the sunlight off the thousands of square feet of sheer granite, and it inspired and moved me. Other people said, I saw the wide open prairie in front of me. It took my breath away. What's the most beautiful thing that you ever seen that led you for the awe and majesty of God? There's an author who says that sometimes God sends signs to us in the sense that when we see the awe and majesty of God, the birth of a child, the beautiful sunset, the mountains, as if God is calling out to us and saying, yeah, this isn't an accident. This is I. And so God speaks to Job and God tells Job, look at my awe and majesty before you think you're smarter than me. And so I'm going to ask us to do that today. Let's think of the awe and majesty of who we are. It takes 17 muscles to smile, 43 muscles to frown. Did that come by accident? Who would design us like that? The heart will beat at least 3 billion times in the average person's lifespan. Is that accidental? Who arranged the arteries and the veins? Who made heart such a muscle to let a person live for 70, 80, 90 years? There are no two fingerprints alike. Even our five fingerprints are different for each one of us. And yet there's over 8 billion people on Earth. How is that? And a small child would say, yes, that's true, but also there's no two snowflakes alike. The awe and majesty of God, there are 7 times 10 to the 14th power of connections in your mind that allows us to think and to reason and to remember and pull memories out of our mind and to contemplate. And that's accidental. It will take over 200,000 light years to travel across our galaxy. What's a light year? 5.4 million miles. And that's just our galaxy before you get to Alpha Centauri, the next nearest star. God points Job and us to look at the awe and majesty of him and his creation. Can scientists explain the smile of an infant? Why it melts our heart? Fathers and grandfathers, can you relate? Or what about love? Can scientists explain why we love one another? Or why we fall in love? What about grief? Can scientists know why that hurts so much? Why people carry grief for a long time? Or guilt? What makes us feel so desperate when we hurt someone else? Or compassion? Why help someone we don't know? God calls Job and God calls us to look at his majesty and his awe. Gregory of Nazarenus wrote this, consider the tribes of birds and their varieties of form and color, both of those which are voiceless and songbirds. What is the reason their melody and from whom came it? We miss the window in northern Ohio. People come from around the country and the world to watch rare birds land on the south shore of Lake Erie. My son's a zoologist. He says that when birds chirp and sing, they're communicating to other birds, like there's food here, there needs to be protection. Who taught birds that? How do birds know to do that? How can they make a sound that only their own type would hear? Who gave the grasshoppers the lutes in their breasts and songs and chirping on the branches when they are moved by the sun to make their midday music? Now, I think we can all thankfully say that we're glad that the cicadas aren't here yet, right? When I lived in Illinois 17 years ago, you couldn't hear yourself think. Who gave them that ability to sing among the groves and escort the wayfarer with their voices? God calls Job and us to look at his awe and majesty. And Job's reply is, I have no reply, God. Job's friend said, I can tell you why your life stinks. You must have upset God. What did you do, Job? Were you a bad boy when you were little? Did you do something wrong, Job, that made God mad that this is happening to you? Job's friends didn't get it. Job's friends, like sometimes we think when something bad happens, God's getting back at me. And our reply, like Job's reply, is we're in no position to talk back to God. When our life stinks, who are we to say, God, this stinks? We cannot speak back to the Almighty, unknowing God when we see him in his awe and majesty and wonder. Can you read this with me? This is what God said to Job. Then the Lord answered Job, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man and answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Who shut the sea behind the doors, or when the clouds in its garments and fixed limits to it? Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown dawn its place? Tell me if you know all of this. Tell me, that's God's response to Job and to us in the unfairness of life. Tell me. And we can't say anything. Then God speaks. What does God say to us? Well, this is about my relationship with you. You see, the whole issue with Job and God wasn't so much Job's relationship to Satan, but Job's relationship to God. And God saying, Job, even though your life stinks right now, it seems unfair, I am still your God. I am still with you. I want you to understand, Job, that I am God and you are not. Martin Luther gives us some insight. Can you read that? Let God be God. Why are bad things happening? I don't know, but let God be God. Martin Luther also sometimes chastises us. Luther correctly once said that there's a little bit of Pope in all of us. We all like things to go our way. There's a little bit of Pope in all of us. We all like to be little popes. Let God be God. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. Who am I to question you? And wise King Solomon, read that with me. Trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. When life is unfair, God is almighty. He is wonderful. He knows everything. He has a plan for us. Let God be God. Put your hope and your trust there. Once in a while, people say, I only wish that God would give me what I deserve. Do you really want that? I only want to get what I deserve. Does anyone really believe that? What would happen if God would give us what we deserve? Where would we be? Probably in hell. If we really got what God gave us, what we deserved. But you know what else is unfair? God's grace to us. That's unfair. While we were yet sinners, Christ did what? There's nothing fair about grace. It's a free gift. We didn't earn it. Even though we were poor, for our sake he became poor that we might become rich. That was someone's confirmation verse. That's a wonderful verse to preach at a funeral. 2 Corinthians 8:9, that's a confirmation verse. Imagine having that. Even though we are poor sinners, for our sake, Christ became poor, died on a cross that we might become rich in heaven. That's unfair. God's grace is unfair. The blessings of God fall both on who? The just and the unjust. That's really not fair, but God is gracious and loving and kind to all. He who knew no sin became sin that we might have the what? The righteousness of God. That's unfair, but Christ gave that to us. Even today's scripture readings, when life is unfair, Psalm 81 says, God who has all power can rescue us from all situations, including what? Let God be God. He'll lead us through. He has a plan. He has a map. He knows all things. In today's epistle, we don't need to go to heaven to hear God's word. It's here with us now. Let God be God. He knows all things. And even Mark 14, when Jesus walked on what? Best person I ever hear explain why Jesus walked on water was Toby Keith. Toby Keith once sung, "And Jesus walked on some water to mess with your heads." Why are you walking on water, Jesus? I'm messing with your heads. I'm God. Know that. When he walked on water, he caused people to be fearful, and Jesus said, "Take heart, it's I. Don't be afraid. I'm in charge of all things." Are we smarter than God? No. But God knows all things. Even when life appears to stink, his grace and mercy is for us. To summarize, God is smarter than us. His creation points us to his all. His cross points us to his grace. And we believers will be what? Triumphant. God is smarter than us. He knows all things for our well-being. So how about this for a closing thought? Can you all read it with me? Jesus, lead thou on, till our rest is won. And although the way be cheerless, we will follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand to our fatherland. And all God's people say, Amen.